If he ain't never done nothing for you, you don't know why Brother Larry's shouting. But he knows why. Amen. He knows why. Don't you love him today? Let's all just praise the Lord together. Hallelujah. Father, we love you today. We glorify your name and magnify you. For God, you are worthy in this room and you're worthy in this place. And we thank you, God, for redemption today. We thank you for redemption. God, to be redeemed. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so today. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. The Bible says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. Thank God. Thank God. Several days I have been kindly asking the Lord today. Somebody told me yesterday, well, I do that all the time. Another good preacher friend of mine, I told him, I said, I've really been asking God for several days now, what is it he wanted me to preach Sunday morning and Sunday night, but primarily this morning, because I only opened one drawer at a time. I'll put that one in after a while and open Sunday night's drawer. But that's the way I have to work in my mind. But I was asking him, I said, you know, I'm really trying to ask God. And this is where I'm at with it. In 30 minutes of time, 30-minute window, it's 11:27 by my clock up there. So let's just say 12 o'clock. Let's say 33 minutes of time. And that's typically not hard for me to talk for 30 minutes. Talking for 30 minutes is not the issue. But what is going to be said over the next 30 minutes that is going to matter for eternity? See, as I have processed this over the last several days, because I kindly in my mind, kindly peruse over the congregation and I think about things, and I don't never know who's going to be in a church service or who's not going to be in a church service. And sometimes I ask myself, well, I wonder if possibly by chance somebody's going to be in that service that's never had an encounter with Jesus. And I've been thinking about that the next 30 minutes. The main thing that really could happen in this room, seeing that we're going to do a water baptism today with some students, is that somebody would have an encounter with Jesus. Now, all throughout the scripture, there are different ones that did have an encounter with Jesus, and it would take me longer than 33 minutes to talk about those. We have a woman at the well that had an encounter with Jesus, and Jesus and her was having this conversation, and Jesus looked back at him and said, "Woman, if thou knewest who it was that speaketh unto thee, then you would have asked him for living water." Jesus was telling her, what you are coming to this well to get is only temporary water. It's the carnal water. It feeds the flesh. It's the carnal water, if you will, Jacob's well. It only satisfies for a little while. But Jesus said later in John chapter number 7, he said, but the water that I'm talking about is living water. It shall be springing up in your life, and it shall flow out of your belly as living waters. We see other people that Jesus talked about throughout Scripture. Another character that I thought about was a wee little man. You've heard of him. His name was Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus. And he climbed up into a tree because he wanted to see Jesus. There was something intriguing about Jesus that he was willing to do what seemed to be impossible for a short man to get up into a tree. Think about it. What seemed to be impossible for him to do, but he was willing to do the impossible to get to where he had never been in all of his life. And I thought about that in my own life. How are we ever going to get back to the church again in our own lives, if you will, that we are willing to do what seemingly seems like it's impossible or not going to happen in order that we might see Jesus? There's other women in the well, women at the well. There's other women in the Bible that seem to be those societal outcasts that Sherry was talking about earlier. That woman that was caught in the very act of adultery, and she had an encounter with Jesus, and Jesus told her, hey, Go and sin no more. That's the former you. That's not the who you are now. All throughout the scripture, whether it was a blinded eye, whether it was a withered hand, whether it was a crippled man. You remember in the book of Mark, I believe it was, that they tore away the roof in order to get the man to where Jesus was. People went to all kinds of effort, if you will, to try to get these people to Jesus because they valued the importance of trying to get a man or a woman to Jesus. And I thought about all of that. I thought about all these things in my mind. This is not really in a minute, in a sermon format, but it's the things that I thought about coming into this service today. So I asked myself in 30 minutes or so, what is the most important thing that I could come here today and talk about in this scripture today? So I landed on the simple thought. Actually, it's two thoughts put together. But the first thought is simply being born again. And I thought about just the born again experience because it talks about that in the scripture over in the book of 1 Peter. And I'm going to read that scripture to you as we get started off into that. 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verse number 13. And it reads like this as you, I'll wait a minute before you can get there. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 13. Peter again talking here and he gives exhortation to a life that is lived in Jesus. Where he tells us in verse 13, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you for the revelation of Jesus Christ. In other words, what he is saying here in verse 13, hold on to the end. Don't give in, don't give up, don't give out. Hold on. Verse 14 says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. This is before you came to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Before somebody ever told you about Jesus, you and I'll get into that in a minute, we didn't know how to live for Jesus at that time in our life. But now, he said that once you come to know Christ, you're no longer fashioning yourselves out of your former life as you did that in your ignorance, which means just in your unknowing. You didn't know any better. But now, in verse 15, but as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, which equates to him saying, in all your actions, in all you do, and in all of your behavior, do those things that is edifying, that leads unto holiness, if you will. Because he says in verse number 16 there, be ye holy, it's written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Old Testament coming into new. For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold from the vain conversations received by the traditions of your father. In other words, you're just handing it down from tradition, just doing it because it was a tradition. This happened with the Jews. And this is what he was talking about there. You are not redeemed by just tradition. You're not redeemed just by showing up at church on a Sunday morning. You're not redeemed by keeping all 14 articles of the Declaration of Faith of the Church of God, even as important as that is to us. You're not redeemed because you are a member of the Church of God. You're not even a member of you're not saved because you're a member of the Thomasville Church of God. That's not how you got redeemed. You're not redeemed because of what you have. According to Peter, he said, because of your silver and your gold. And it's like the man at the lame gate. Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee. You know what he was able to give him? He said that in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. They were able to give this man Jesus. What our world today needs is a fresh encounter with Jesus. I don't know how you feel, but I want a fresh encounter with Jesus every single day. Amen. I want to know Him, and I want to know the power and the anointing that He brings into my life on a day-to-day basis. But there again, verse number 19 is what He really boils, what this really boils down to. And He says, but you have been redeemed, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish, without spot. He says, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Again, look at in verse 21, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and your hope might rest in God, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love, unwavering, don't change, love of the brethren, that I see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Verse 23, I love this. He says, being born again. Peter uses the term being born again. Now, if I had more time than I've got this morning, I could go in many places throughout the Scripture that there is an emphasis placed upon being born again. And I want to talk about a few of those. And I know our children are over in Children's Church, and Brother Chris has talked to them about this born-again experience. So I wanted to talk to you just for a few minutes about this as well. So when you look at this in the Scripture, Peter says being born again. That's kind of an odd phrase. There was a man in the Scripture that questioned Jesus about the whole idea of being born again. Peter says that you being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. You and I know what the Scripture says, that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That is why the preaching of the gospel must go forth. So he says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans says, how can they hear except there be a preacher? A preacher is important to preach the gospel. Paul challenged young Timothy to preach the gospel. The gospel is what? The good news. The born again experience comes out of your response to the good news and hearing the gospel. I don't know about you, but I get excited when I hear a gospel message preached because it does something on the inside of my heart, and it gives me hope, and it lets me know, hey, there's something beyond this veil of tears that we're living in right now. Jesus encountered a young man. His name is Nicodemus. We all know Nicodemus. Nicodemus was one that was a part of the Sanhedrin, I believe he was, and he was one that was a religious guy. He was one that probably knew how to cross all the T's and dot all the I's. But there was a question in Nicodemus's life when he came into an encounter with Jesus Christ. There's always a question. Do I really need to be born again? Do I really need, is there really anything to this Jesus walk today? So we see Nicodemus coming to Jesus in John chapter number 3. We see him there, and Nicodemus and Jesus starts this conversation. So we pick this up in verse number 1 of chapter number 3 of John. In verse number 1, he says it like this. Now there was a man of the Pharisee, I said Sadducee, but it's a Pharisee, named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. He was engrossed in Judaism. He was involved. He was a ruler. He knew all the rules. He knew all the regulations. He knew the things he wanted to do and he not to do. Verse number 2, but the same came to Jesus by night. Commentary says different things about that. One of the things was he was skittish. One of the things was he didn't want to be seen. The other reason was he was afraid. I don't know why, but he came to Jesus by night and he acknowledged Jesus as a rabbi. He knew there was something about him that was distinctively different and he wanted to know him. He says, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Now Jesus answered and said unto him, now I like this, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, when I was thinking about this over the last few days, I sort of got stopped right there for a little bit because of what this says. He says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's interesting simply because You and I that witness, you and I oftentimes go and talk to people about their relationship with Jesus. Here's some of the excuses that we hear. Well, I will one day when I'm ready. Or not now, but maybe another day will be a good day. The Bible says the day is the day of salvation. The Bible explicitly tells us, and again, I don't have time to get into it, but there was explicitly a time in the scripture where there was a man by the name of Lazarus. Lazarus was there, and I think it's over in Luke 16. We're not going to turn there right now. And there came a time when Lazarus would die and the rich man would die. Rich man died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. Then we see again Lazarus, he was being comforted in the bosom of Abraham. So there's two contrasts going on here. You have the born again and you have those that's not born again. And you have those that's ready for heaven, and you have those that's not ready for heaven. I also thought to myself this, there's not going to be but two types of people in that building today. There's not going to be but, and I'm not talking about gender, I'm not talking about nationality, I'm talking about those that are ready for heaven and those that are not ready for heaven. And only an individual knows in their heart whether or not they're really ready to go to heaven and really whether they have had a born again experience. When they were singing this song, Just As I Am, I thought about Billy Graham. I thought about what little bit I've watched his clips on TV and different things that I've watched of him. And he had a very simple gospel message. And it just simply was a message that told people, you need to get your heart. It's like we're always trying to convince people why they need to be born again. Can I break it down real simple? My friend, you don't want to go to hell. I promise you that. You say, well, I'm going to take my chances that there's a purgatory or there's soul rest or something that may be classified as that. Maybe there's this thing in hell that's annihilation, and maybe I'll just burn up and fizz away after a while. Friend, you cannot show me any of that in the Bible. The Bible says that a man's soul is created to live in eternity somewhere. And I thought to myself as I thought about that, how that Jesus was talking to Nicodemus and he was talking to him here in the scripture. And all throughout this, there's something that came to my mind. So when Nicodemus and Jesus was talking, he was having this conversation with him, and he tells him, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, somebody says, well, that's heaven. We're waiting to go to glory. In the Bible, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare, I'll come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also, in John 14. But I don't believe that's what he's talking about here, because the Bible teaches you and I, except we be born again. Now let me play on these words a little bit. You won't even see the necessity of being born again. You don't even see the glory of the Father in true reality except you get born again. Somebody says, well, I believe in God and I want to serve God, but I don't really know if I'm born again. God can settle that in your heart today. Now, here's another thing. He says here in this word again, he says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, John 1 talks about that a little bit, because it says in John 1 and verse number 4, and the Bible says this, it says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. There's a song on Caleb that says, he put his light in me. He put his light in me that I could go and shine. But here's the whole issue on this. He says, in him was life, and the life was the life of men, the light of men. And except we be born again, my friend, the Bible again explicitly tells us that you and I are walking in darkness. We don't even see God's glory. It takes a born again experience to be able to understand the glory of God, to see God in all of His fullness, if you will. Again, when you look at this, as God was talking here in the scripture, in verse number 5, He says, and that light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And that again is one of those things that got my attention, because a man that's not born again cannot even see the kingdom of God. He's walking in darkness. The God of this world has blinded their eyes. And he's like a blind man moping through life and trying to figure life out and trying to find direction in life. And you say, well, I've done pretty good through life, preacher. Well, I'm proud of you and proud for you. But how are you going to go into eternity lost without Jesus? And Jesus and Nicodemus was having this very important conversation. And Jesus did not move from the fact, Sister Lori, that he told Nicodemus, you've got to be born again. Well, Jesus and Nicodemus is having this long conversation. And Jesus came back and he told him, and he said, hey, look here. He said, that is born of the flesh is flesh. Hey, you and I got here, right? We got here through our mother, right? So we see that Jesus again was trying to talk to him and explain to him that is flesh is flesh and that is spirit is spirit. Born again means to be born from above. It's the new birth. I thought about some theological terms that we often use in the church. We use redeemed. We use the word regenerated. We use the word new life. We use all of these terms in the Scripture that we can find in Scripture. And let me just break it down and make it real simple. It means that somewhere along life's journey that you finally surrender your life to Jesus. And you know, I thought about this again this week. A couple of weeks ago, we was talking about the salvation story. Somebody said, well, I don't have a salvation story. If you don't have a salvation story, you've came to the right place today. Because I believe that everybody that's ever been born again by the Spirit, you've got a salvation story. Again, I don't have time to go into it, but I thought about Saul of Tarsus. Even as religious as Saul was and how intelligent Saul was, when he had an encounter with Jesus, he saw a marvelous light. It knocked him from the horse, the camel, the donkey, whatever he was riding. He fell to the ground. And from the ground, he looked up and he said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. And he said, what things would you have me to do? And he told him to go to Ananias' house. And when you look at Paul's life right there, at the end of that transformation, you can see that Paul had a spiritual encounter with Jesus Christ that changed his life forever. You can look at that scripture and it says straightway, Paul got up and Paul preached Christ unto them. Somebody says, is God going to make a preacher out of me when he saves me? Yes and amen. Everybody is an evangelist. Everybody is a preacher. Everybody, everywhere you go, ought to have such an anthem of love in your heart for Jesus today that everywhere you go, somebody ought to be looking at you and saying, hey, there's something different about Sandra Neely. There's something different going on in her life, my friend. That comes from a born-again experience with Jesus, and Jesus alone is the one that can do that. When you look at born again, that scripture, when you look at that, when Nicodemus was talking to Jesus and Jesus and him was having this great conversation, he tells him there. And he tells him here in the scripture, when you look at this, he says in verse number 6, he says, but that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now, verse number 7 is very interesting because this goes into a whole different segment of this scripture. Why did Nicodemus need to be born again? Well, the same reason you do. Because you got two birthdays. One is your birthday when you were born in the natural. Mine's February the 4th. I was born in 1963 at about 6 o'clock in the morning, according to my mother. But you know what, my friend? I've got another birthday. At the Clyde Church of God, I didn't know the importance of writing down dates and times I didn't write down the date and I didn't know the time. But I do know I was around 18 years old at the Clyde Church of God. That is a spiritual birthday. I got a question for you. As you stand before God, is God got your spiritual birthday recorded in glory? this morning? Amen? I could stop right there, couldn't I? That'd be a good place for an altar call, wouldn't it? But that's a serious question. What are you going to do in the next 30 minutes that's going to matter for eternity? The same thing that Jesus did when Jesus was with Nicodemus. He told him in this next verse, he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, you must be born again." Now, that's an interesting question because Jesus, he didn't stutter and he didn't put any question marks after that or anything else. According to what we read in the scripture, he just says there, he says, "You must be born again." If Jesus emphasized this, the Nicodemus there, again in the scripture, we can see here again where that he actually says that in verse number 7. Jesus actually says, "Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again." In other words, that marvel, the word marvel from my understanding, is a word that means to wonder, to question. And Jesus was so direct in his conversation with Nicodemus that he said, "Hey, don't even question it." And somebody said, "Well, I question everything." I do too. But I don't understand everything. And those of you that's heard me say this before, forgive me, but I have to say it again. I don't understand everything. I don't understand why I have to have oxygen, but God does. You say, "Well, I have to have oxygen," but you don't see it. But you know you got to have it. See, I don't see God, but I know God. God's in my heart. Not the pumping part, but the inner person of who I am, my soul, my spirit. He lives in my heart. He lives. Aren't you glad Christ Jesus lives today? I'm glad he lives. But I don't understand it all. That part's not my part. Somebody says, "Well, I don't understand a whole lot of things about it." I've told guys about electricity. I can't see electricity. I see the effects of electricity. You go back there to that switch and you turn that switch off and you turn it on. These lights come on. I don't understand all of that, okay? I'm not an electrician. I'll let John worry about that. You got me? But I don't even understand how a black cow can eat green grass and give white milk. But I'm not going to eat dry cereal because I don't understand it. Are you with me today? So there's a lot of things in life we don't understand. So how do I get born again? How do I get saved? Well, my mind goes back to the time when Paul had been delivered from prison. And he told the Philippian jailer, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Paul just looked at this man. He was a jailer. He was a jailer that had been a part of the watchman that watched over Silas and Paul, made sure they didn't do anything wrong. And Paul had already been beaten and had already been abused and all that kind of stuff. But through it all, God sent an earthquake. The prison doors was open. And I believe that God can still open prison doors for people that's bound up in sin in this room today. And then he come out after all that happened in Acts chapter 16. He said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" He knew the value and the importance of being saved. Of course, Paul looked back at him and said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ." Wow. Somebody says, "That's the hardest part for me because I just don't know how to believe on Jesus." You just have to put your faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You do your part, and God will do His part. You put your trust in God, you put your faith in God, you put your confidence in God, and let God do what God does. He says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Saved, born from above. What happens? What happens in this process? And theologically, I don't know if I am adequate enough to explain it to you. But God takes my old, nasty, filthy heart, the old carnal man that Romans 5 talks about that I didn't have time to get into, because he tells us that we're the seed of Adam, and Adam had a sin issue after they were there in the garden, and it was handed from man to man to man to man. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that means it all needs to be born again. But God, in all His intimate glory and all His intimate wisdom, knew how to do that for you and for me. Because He says in the Scripture, and you don't need to turn there, but He says over in 2 Corinthians, I think it's 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. God knows how to take an old mess, wash it in His precious red blood, and change our lives, turn our lives around. No matter what we've done, no matter where we've been, no matter how many times we did it, no matter how many times we fumbled the ball, no matter how many times we boogered it up, if we'll come running to Jesus, Jesus will change it all. Come on, somebody. He'll turn it around. He'll turn the whole situation around. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. God will take something that seems to be an absolute mess. Do you know that God can make a masterpiece out of a mess? But you've got to be clay in His hands. You've got to let Him do it. Then I thought about the Scripture again where the Bible says this, and He talks about that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I could really talk about the whole thing about Romans 5 right now, and you can read it when you got time to do that, because it talks about the Adam man. Let me just paraphrase it for the sake of time. The Adam man, the man Adam, but yet by the second Adam, Jesus, because of what Jesus has done today, Jesus changed our lives. And He can do that not only for whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, born from above, born again. And then the other thing that Jesus and Nicodemus was having is, and another thing is, scripturally, we know that Nicodemus adhered to what Jesus was saying, and no doubt Nicodemus got saved because Nicodemus was at the tomb of Jesus when they went and took the body of Jesus and put it in the tomb. Nicodemus was there. We see that in Scripture. So no doubt in my mind, Nicodemus was adhering unto Him when he did that. The last thing I guess I'll have time to get to today before we do the water baptism. You say, well, tell me how to do this born again thing, preacher. You know, when I got saved, man, I didn't know anything about anything. I was so far away from anything. I didn't know anything. I mean, I didn't know anything about God. I know when I was 13 year old, and you've heard me say this before, when I was 13 year old, God showed me through a situation His presence. That's all I can tell you. I wasn't saved because I didn't know how to be saved. You know what I mean? I didn't know what it was. Nobody ever told me that. But I always said from the time I was 13 forward that I'm going to go to church when I get to be a big boy. That was my way of saying it. And I didn't know it was the voice of God, Steve. I had no clue. But God spoke to my heart one day and said, "You're a big boy now. Go to church." And I heard that voice, not audibly. I heard it in my heart. So it was God the whole time wooing me and drawing me and wouldn't let me go. And I'm glad of that now. I'm glad He wouldn't let me go. So what do you do? Well, if you look in Romans 10, very, very simple scripture. We all know these scriptures. But for the sake of those that maybe not, the Bible says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, two verses of Scripture, 9 and 10, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth your part, the Lord Jesus, shall believe in thine heart, your part, that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved, His part. God and you working together. You say, well, I don't want to be a religious person. Thank God I don't want to be a religious person either. Because religion by itself is nothing. Sounding brass, tinkling cymbal. But God will bring you into relationship with Him. A sweet relationship with Him. Look at this. Again, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. In your heart. You got to believe in your heart. Your part. And with thy mouth confession is made unto salvation. Many times Jesus would have an encounter with the disciples. The one that comes to my mind right now is Peter, Petra. The apostle shall not prevail against it. But who are you, Jesus? The question was asked. Well, some say Elijah, some say Jeremiah, some says one of the prophets. But Jesus looked back at Peter and he said, but whom do you say that I am? And he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. I love that part because I'm praying in this 30-minute window that I have right now that the Father which is in heaven will reveal Himself to everybody in this room. As you stand with me, don't leave. Please don't leave. Somebody needs to get the children. Don't leave. Your heads are back, whispering a prayer. And I'm just simply saying, Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, this is what you laid on my heart for this morning, for this hour of time in this church. And God, I'm just simply saying right now that God, if there be somebody here this morning that don't know you, that don't know you, I pray, Father God, right now, that, Lord, that they would believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and that they would be saved. That they would confess Jesus with their mouth. That they would believe Jesus in their heart. That they would believe that Jesus is the Son of the living God. And I pray that, God, that this 30 minutes of time has made a difference in somebody's life. Your head is bowed, your eyes closed. You say, Pastor Green, I love God today, but I'm just not really sure I'm saved today. I love coming to church, but I just don't know where I stand with Jesus today. If that's you, just simply raise your hand up and say, Pastor, remember me, I want to be saved. I want to be born again. Anyone at all? Anyone at all? At all? I see one hand. Anyone else? You say, well, Pastor, how do I get saved? Believe in my heart. Confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Anyone else?